Hey guys, welcome back to Young Adult Adventist, also known as YAA. I'm John Ubongan.
And I'm Chandler Coleman.
We hope you guys are having a wonderful day.
And again, we thank you if whether you're tuning in on Spotify, whether you're tuning in on Apple Podcasts, whether you're watching on YouTube or any other podcast platform. We love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you for tuning in to today's episode. And John, what is today's
episode? Today's topic is, if salvation is free and truly a gift, then why do our actions matter at all? And today I'm going to start off with a memory verse. And I think this memory verse kind of links all of this together. And I think this is like, this verse kind of contains everything that this topic has. And it's found in Romans 5:8. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us."
I love that.
I love this verse because I think it shows action. Because even though Jesus loved us in his heart so deeply, he also loved us so much that he took that love into action and died with it on that cross, just so we can have salvation. And I think that perfectly shows that even if that salvation was free, we will still follow through with the actions just because of the love that we have for Jesus. And I think it is the reason why most young Christians struggle with wrapping their heads around, and the reason why actions are so important. Because truthfully, and if I step on toes, I step on toes. If your actions do not reflect your love for Jesus, then I think that love has holes in it. And I think that's what us young adult Adventists really struggle with, myself included. Don't get me wrong. And it's probably the most difficult struggle that I have faced, saying that I love Jesus, yet my actions say otherwise.
And yes, I do just love, because that is a huge thing with Christians. And I think a lot of reasons why a lot of Christians are afraid to get more involved, because of the reason that they feel like their actions don't represent Christ well enough. And if we're being honest, all us Christians have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that. So we have all fallen short, and we just need to learn that God really has got us, and it's not about us. But I do love Romans 5:8. What I really love about this is Jesus showed love by action to us first. And that's just, I love that so much, because the whole topic, why are actions important? Well, Jesus God showed the ultimate action by dying for our sins.
Amen. I think it's the perfect example for us Christians to follow. And it's amazing that he set that example first, just so we know what it looks like to show our actions through our faith and our, like, everything that we do, because he died for us.
Yes. And so next we're going to get into the fundamental beliefs again, the 28 fundamental beliefs of Adventism. And today we're going to be focusing on number 10, because it relates to our topic of salvation. And the title of fundamental belief number 10 is the experience of salvation. So I'm just going to read a quote really quick from the experience of salvation, fundamental belief number 10. And it says, through Christ we are justified, adopted as God's sons and daughters, and delivered from the lordship of sin. Through the Spirit we are born again and sanctified. The Spirit renews our minds, writes God's laws of love in our heart, and we are given the power to live a holy life. Abiding in him, we become partakers of the divine nature and have the assurance of salvation now and in judgment. Mm. And so after this, I kind of want to read, these are from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And these are some of my favorite verses that I've ever read. And they say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And this just shows that our actions have got to be Christ-centered and not centered around ourselves. Yeah. Because this is the biggest mistake. Because even if we are doing good works and it's centered toward us and for attention towards ourselves, those actions are completely in vain.
Yeah. It takes away the purpose that we do it for Christ. Mm-hmm. When we do our actions, like you said, when we do our actions and make it towards ourselves and not for Christ, it takes away the purpose that Christ has intended for you to do and wanted you to do.
Yeah, and I saw this quote once that really resonated with me, and I haven't forgot it since. It said, if you do good works, but for yourself and not for God, those good works are a sin. Why? Because we're doing them for ourselves and not for God's glory. So if we're doing any good works, that are for ourselves and not for God's glory, that's all that is a sin, because we're doing it for ourselves and we're supposed to be doing all the good works we do need to be done for Christ. And so how do we show appreciation for God's gift of salvation, the wonderful salvation? Because obviously we know that salvation is not by the works we do. We've been taught that forever. But so how do we show appreciation for this amazing gift God has given us? And what I want to make a huge point in this episode is that salvation is not by works, but we show thankfulness to God by works. Ooh. So works still have something to do it. So when you get a gift you love so much, you're obviously thankful for the gift by using it, like whether it's from your parents or grandparents, if you can imagine, when you were littler, you got a lot of fun gifts.
Yeah.
And you would use those, and you would thank your parents, or then you'd give them a hug, whatever you want to do to thank them, and you would show your thankfulness to your parents for that gift. In the same way, when we truly experience God's gift of salvation, we're going to want to show thankfulness for it. And so, going off that, I kind of have three signs to say if you are not genuinely thankful for what Jesus did for you on the cross. Here's three signs for you to think about to see if you're genuinely thankful or not. And number one is if you feel obligated to obey God's laws. If you feel that God's commandments are an obligation, you're probably not truly thankful for God and what he did for you, because we should be wanting to follow him. Well, at the same time, you know, it's not a matter of, because sometimes we're going to have sins that we struggle with, and we're going to be like, oh, there's no way I can ever get over that sin and stuff like that. That's different, because we're going to have sins that we struggle with. We're going to have to go to God for those. But what I'm talking about is actually just feeling obligated to obey God's laws. And number two is you never really make the effort to talk to your Savior. You may do it before meals a couple times, maybe a tiny prayer before in your morning and at night, but you're kind of just giving God the leftovers and not really giving him all that he deserves.
I think that's what us young adult Adventists, us young Christians struggle with. I myself struggle with that. It's just like only talking to him, like you said, during meals, like before meals, praying before bed or after bed. I feel like we should make it an importance to talk to him in our daily life. Oh, I have a couple minutes. I'm going to talk to him.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to tell him about my day.
It should be more of a priority.
Yeah, and I think I like that.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. It's just we say we're so thankful, but do our actions really show it, if we're being honest? Because if we're just giving God our leftovers with just a 5-2-minute prayer in the morning and at night, maybe before meals, if we're really not focused on God throughout the day, are we genuinely thankful for all that he has done for us? And number three is kind of ties back into the first two, but it says you don't feel much of any conviction to become a better person. Because if we are following Jesus' example, and we know Jesus' example down here on earth, he was constantly serving. He didn't want to be served, but he came down to earth to serve, as Luke said. And I think that's Luke 19, verse 10. Don't quote me on that.
He knows his verses.
Don't quote me on that. May not be wrong. but if you're listening, you can look that up and see. But basically, we should always feel conviction to become a better person. And by a better person, I just honestly humbling ourselves, whatever we struggle with, we should feel that conviction. And if we don't feel the conviction from God, then what are we in this for, you know? And I think a big revelation for me over my spiritual walk over the past few months is realizing that feeling guilty is a good sign that we are getting closer to God. A lot of people think feeling guilty is that, oh, I'm so guilty, I can't go to God, I don't deserve God. But truly, when we feel guilty, it's a good sign, because it's showing God is working in our hearts, and we're accepting that we need to be changed. And so why is all this so important? Because of this one verse right here. This verse, oh my word, I love this verse. James 2, verse 19, it says, "You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror." So you say God is good. You say you believe in God. Great, because even the demons believe in God. This is the first time I read this verse and actually let it sink in. That's crazy, because the truth of the matter is, if you truly believe in God and care about Jesus Christ as your creator and savior, you will want to do something about
it.
And that means more than just reading the word and internalizing it. We will want to get out and actually do stuff, because the devil and his angels, they study their Bibles all the time to deceive us. So if we're just studying and not being good about going out and showing what we've learned to others, we're not being any better than the devil and his angels.
Yeah, it won't set us apart if we just believe in God. We have to truly, truly seek out God by showing, like you said, appreciation through our actions.
Yes. And John, you have a verse. Is it Hebrews 10:24?
Yes. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and works. This is another point on how our actions do matter. So, like the verse said, and let us consider one another. Like our mission statement says, it is not our journey to heaven alone, but together through him. So remember that when our actions are in line with God's, we help each other, whether that's being a good example, or just simplifying, or just simply by doing the good deeds that we do, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I have another verse here. It says, James.
Is this James 1:22?
James 1:22.
This verse is so good too.
But don't just listen to God's word. You must do it always. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. I love that. I think it kind of points out and calls us out. And I feel like the situation right now in Adventism is that we are stagnant. We hear a lot of messages that really call us to do God's diligence, and yet we don't do anything about it. I know this for a fact because I myself am convicted of it. I don't know about Chandler here. But I've heard so many sermons about how we can be a positive change, how we can be a light to everyone around us, how we can be leaders, how we can be a vessel for God. And if I'm being truthful, sometimes it just goes right over my head.
Yeah, and I think maybe the reason for that sometimes is that it's good to look at others for influence, but I feel like a lot of the people we look to for influence, we find ourselves comparing us to them. And we shouldn't be comparing and trying to be exactly like them. Yes, they can be a good influence to us, and yes, they can influence us in our spiritual walks, but we shouldn't be trying to compare ourselves to them and be exactly like them, because everyone's walk is different, and we can shine our own light. Everyone's light that they can shine is going to be different. We're not going to be having the exact same walk that other people have.
Amen. But also, like we've said in one of the episodes that we've had before about God's voice and about listening to God's voice, if he tells you to do something through someone's sermon or through this one pastor's sermon and it really convicts you to do something, God is clearly calling you to do something great. But yet sometimes we just stay there. We remain stuck in the same place than we were at. This verse is probably one of the most powerful and effective verse for us yet. So let me say it again. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And going further later into the verses that follows, it says, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless.
Wow.
Our actions do matter because God is calling us to do his work. And through that work, we can help people around us. And this perfectly links to the next verse.
Yes. And this next verse we have is Proverbs 16:13. And it can be a bit of a tongue twister, a bit of an interesting verse. The first time I read it, I was just like, wow, I need to read that again. So I'm actually going to read it twice because this verse has a lot of good stuff in it. And it says, Proverbs 16:3 NKJV, it says, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And this, I'll read it again. You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so relating this kind of back to Adventism, Adventists are honestly really good about like doing mission trips, getting out into the world, getting out into the real world, not just sitting in our box, not just sitting in our Adventist bubble as we're doing this from Collegedale. Obviously, this is maybe the biggest, if not the biggest, like Adventist bubble there is. And so not just ministry, not just focusing on ministry here in the Adventist bubble or in the Adventist community. The Adventist church really does get out, especially in other countries. You have a lot of ministries and mission trips going on in other countries. All the universities are really good about doing mission trips. So I just really appreciate that from the Adventist church. And so I was reading a book a little bit ago, and it said, it was interesting because it said, many people feel called to the rich and not called to the poor. Now, what does that mean? Because what it means is that a lot of people feel like probably about three out of four people, like 75% of Christians, for some reason, most Christians just feel called to where they're comfortable and to the rich. And what I mean by that is, Like, everyone wants to do Bible studies with each other. Everyone wants to kind of do Bible studies with their friends, people they know, people that are on the same income level as them, because they just want to be comfortable, and they're comfortable with those people. We want to be involved in church. We want to do all this stuff and, like, maybe preach some sermons. That's great. But for some reason, everyone feels called to do that stuff, and there's very few people that feel called to, like, go take care of the homeless, go on mission trips, go on long-term mission trips, serve the poor, or get to know poor people and actually have poor friends. Yeah.
And I think like you mentioned, I think it's because it is, like, for them, it's so comfortable to just yes. be right here where you know everyone, where you don't have this feeling of being pushed out of your comfort zone and really finding out the limits of your faith and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's a reason why most of us stay here in whatever church or whatever place you're at and not doing anything else, is because we are comfortable. And I think that's yes. one of the things Satan uses to catch us off guard, to trap us and to snare us, is by making us comfortable where we're at. And though it seems like we're doing a lot of work and a lot of
good stuff,
it's not, because all of us, most of us here at college or Udo or Abison, are like, we have that, I don't want to, like, make it, like, sound, I don't know, but, like, we all have the same basis of faith and, like, beliefs as each other, and it's kind of, to me, pointless if we just preach to each other and not, like,
yes.
to those
who really need it.
Who really need it.
Yeah, because just what goes perfectly off that is the author also mentioned, he was like, God, he prayed a prayer, he's like, God, bring me to someone who really truly needs you, bring me to someone needy, bring me to someone who really, truly needs your love and needs me to care for them.
Amen.
And then after that, he was embarrassed because he was like, I didn't know any friends that were actually poor and they were actually needy. And that's embarrassing. That was embarrassing to him. Why? Because all his friends were in the same income level as him, maybe a little lower, maybe a little higher, maybe even rich. Like, he didn't have any friends that were actually legitimately poor. And that was so convictional to me, because I was like, wait, I don't really know anyone either that's legitimately struggling to get by. And it's like, that just shows how almost selfish we are, and we don't realize it, that we are just focusing on our community, the people that are the same as us, and we're not really going out and searching for the people who really need the help. We're just not doing it. And so that was convictional to me. I'm like, wow, I really need to do a way better job at actually getting out and not just focusing on the people that are just around me and in my community and the people that I'm comfortable with. Because the gospel always calls us to be uncomfortable and get out of our comfort zone. And so now, kind of shifting gears a little bit, one thing we need to bring up on this topic is the once saved, always saved that is believed by certain denominations. And I just really think that this whole idea takes out the whole beauty of the gospel. Because a lot of people think when they're once saved, always saved, that, okay, I get baptized or I believe in Jesus, I accept him once, it's all good.
And yeah, then, I don't have to do anything anymore, right?
Yeah.
I've been saved once, I've been baptized, I did this, this, and this.
Yeah.
I'm good, I'm through it, right?
Exactly. But that just takes out the beauty of the gospel, because when Jesus died for us, yes, we don't work for it, but the good works that we do for Jesus is just us sharing and showing our thankfulness to Jesus. Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of it, is us being thankful, even though we're just a grain of sand on the seashore compared to Jesus to us. Like, we're meaningless to Jesus, but yet he chose us, and we're showing thankful for that, because we did not deserve anything, but Jesus gave us everything. And that's just amazing, because we didn't deserve it, and yet that's why we're showing thankful to our Creator and Savior for doing that. And so Jesus mentions time and time again in the Gospels that following him is costly, but it will be worth the reward. And Matthew 10:22 says, this was a very convictional verse for me as of recently too, and it says, you will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And that's just kind of a self-explanatory verse that is really huge. But a verse that's even more of a wake-up call to me is actually a chapter back in Matthew 9, verse 37.
Can I say it?
Yes.
He said to his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few.
Read that again.
He said to his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few.
Read that one more time.
Let's read it one more time. He said to his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few.
And if this isn't a wake-up call to all of us, I don't know what is. Because Jesus says it. We can't just be comfortable where we are. The harvest is plenty, and yet we're just staying where we are in our same little circle, reharvesting over and over again. We're planting. Yeah. We're planting in this one spot. We harvest it. We plant again in the same spot. We harvest it. We're not going out to the harvest that truly needs to be harvested. Amen. The harvest is plenty. The workers are few. It's not, and it's almost like it's not like the desire of these workers are few. It's just that us workers, us believers in Christ, aren't really going out to the people who need it a lot of the time.
Amen.
And so, and let us, and you have a verse now, Galatians 6:9. You kind of wanted to talk about that, right?
It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And I think this is another important verse because it tells a promise that when we do our good works, yes, sometimes we won't see the fruits of our labor, but like the verse says, we need not grow weary and trust in God, and he will give us the things we reap. I feel like that's something that a lot of us are held back by, is that we don't see the fruits of our labor fast, or like we don't have a good, a fast, we don't see the things that we do turn out for good or come back for good. And I think that's what a lot of us gets held back by, is like not seeing the fruits of our labor. And like this verse says, do not grow weary, trusting God, and he will give us the things that we reap.
Yes. And but it's also very important to remember, like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, that we can't be doing good things because we expect something in return.
Yes, that too.
Yes, that we cannot be doing that. We can't be doing good things and just expect that God's going to give us a blessing, because that's not having the right heart posture. We truly have to be doing it because, I mean, God is our creator. He's our savior. He redeemed us, and without him, we'd be nothing. That is the reason why we do it. And then God will bless us if our heart posture is right. And so the last thing I want to kind of get into is, you may not think that this exactly relates to the topic, but I really do think it does, and it's just comparing ourselves to others. Because I think a lot of times we get into the dangerous trap of, we'll see, we may be struggling with a certain sin, and then maybe someone else is struggling with a sin that we don't necessarily struggle with as much, but we all have our hidden sins that we struggle with. And the dangerous trap is that if we see someone else that we really look up to and we're really influenced by, if we see them getting like bogged down by a sin, or we see them sin, then if they influence us and we think that we're looking up to them, the problem with that is that we'll take ourselves and go down to that standard. And without realizing it, we'll tell ourselves, oh, because that person that I look up to did that sin, now I can kind of lower my standard and I can do that sin and it'll be fine too. We don't straight up say that, but I feel like that's the trap we fall into so many times. And just like we said before, we kind of touched on it, our relationship with God needs to be our own. We can be influenced by other people, but we cannot let other people just infect our relationship with God. It needs to be our own.
Don't let others' actions be your own actions. Like Chandler said, others will do things and may have faults, and we sometimes will like to lower ourselves to them and, like Chandler said, lower our standards to them. But God wants you to have your own things that to follow. He gives you your own path just for you, specifically for you. So follow God's path, not others' paths that they are walking. Don't follow the people that you look up to, because even though you look up to them so much, we are all,
it needs to be your own.
We are all humans.
You are all human. And
it needs to be your own that God paves for you.
So I really hope that makes sense, because it really is such a dangerous trap, these people that we look up to. I'm not saying look up to them any less, but we need to realize that this is our own relationship with God. And if the people we look up to, if we see them struggling, we can't lower our standard to them. Yeah. We've got to be there for them and help them as well. And so always remember, be influenced by people, but make sure that they aren't getting into your own relationship with God. Be influenced, but let this relationship with God be your own. Because I know there's many people in my life that I look up to so much, and I know I wouldn't be the person I am today without them. But because of them, I've let myself grow in my relationship with my personal relationship with God and my personal plans God has brought out in me because of the people that he has put in my life. So don't take advantage of the people in your life, But just remember that it's still your own relationship with God. And don't let yourselves raise your standards for yourself if God's told you otherwise, or lower your standards for yourself just based on other people. Let it be your own.
Amen.
And so I think, John, you have some, do you have a quote from Auntie Ellen?
Auntie Ellen White. Yes. So in closing, I'm going to bring up again Ellen G. White to link it back to Adventism and what she says about Adventism and kind of the whole. And it says, and again, we want to specifically, I said that. Okay. And I love it. Wait, okay. I'm lost. Okay. I'm here. We cannot earn salvation, but we are to seek it for it with as much interest and perseverance as though we would abandon everything in the world for it.
Wow. And that could be like a whole other topic, you know? Like we should be pursuing God. We should be pursuing salvation. We should be pursuing heaven, pursuing what God has done for us and being thankful with that much that we would abandon everything in the world for it. That's the ultimate goal for all Christians. That should be the ultimate goal.
I think that specifically shows that when we have that personal connection and relationship with God and abandon the things of this world and the interests will just disappear. And in doing that, our actions will become easier. And a lot of, I know a lot of people that I'm close with say, oh, my actions are hard because I don't want to let this
I don't want to let that thing go. Yes.
Like Ellen is saying, if we abandon the things of this world and the interest of the world, doing your actions and following God will become easier and your salvation will become more apparent.
Yes. And if I could just leave you guys with one thing, the main question of this whole episode in the title, it says, why do our actions matter at all? And my answer to that question is, if you think your actions shouldn't matter at all, you're not in the right place. Amen. And why is that? Not because we need to save ourselves through our actions. That's already done. But we should be thankful for that salvation. And if we aren't thankful enough to show God we're thankful for it, and by that is through our actions, through walking like Jesus, from helping others, from being generous, from being kind, from wanting to share the gospel, if you're not feeling any conviction to improve yourself and help others, that's just showing that if you don't think your actions matter, then you need to kind of check back in with God and be like, and really read through the Gospels again and realize what God did for you, we can never compare to. And just being nice to other people and bringing other people along for the ride in the journey of salvation is what it's all about, the Great Commission. Amen. We are supposed to do that. And God works in all our lives, but we've just got to realize that it's not about us, it's about God.
Yeah.
And God's going to work in us, and we've just got to be thankful. And by showing that thanks is through our actions.
Yeah, if you want to look at it this way, God showed us so much love. He showed us so much love while he was on this earth. Jesus did so many things for us. He did so many things that we could follow as an example. And also, he died for us on that cross.
Yes.
And I think the most important thing us Christians need to show is our appreciation and our love for Jesus Christ. And I think one of the most important things and one of the most things that we can do to show our love and appreciation for Christ is through our actions.
Yes. So we thank you guys for tuning into this episode. We hope that this episode brought a better light, a kind of a new understanding maybe to actions and salvation and how those two relate. You should always be thankful, show thanks to God through your actions, not because you need to earn your salvation. That's already done. God's already done that. Jesus paid for that on the cross. And it is fitting that this actually is being filmed on Easter.
Yeah.
This isn't being posted on Easter,
but we
did film this on Easter. So a fun fact, but we thank you guys for tuning in. We love you guys. Hope this inspired you. Stay in the Word, stay with God, stay deep in prayer. We thank you and we love you.
We'll catch you next time.